The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 37. Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable: "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we ask that you would enlighten our hearts, that we may receive your word by faith, and that we would see Jesus and his saving power for us. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, we're talking about what it means to love one another over the past several weeks. And today, specifically, we turn to this idea of judgment. And I told one story to the children, and I'll tell you another story that happened a couple years later in my childhood years, since that's when we seem to learn a lot of our most valuable lessons. When I was in fourth grade, the principal at the school my brother and I attended was Mr. Jenkins. And when we heard the word Mr. Jenkins, we pictured this man who we believed was elderly, but was probably like 40, you know, had gray hair and big forearms, biceps, you know, which was a reminder to us that he had actually served in the Marines before he became a principal, so he knew how to be tough. And if you were ever asked to go to Mr. Jenkins' office, that was the worst thing that anyone could ever imagine happening. And so everyone did what they could to be on his good side. And so I can remember on one particular day when our friend Steve Klempstein was sent to the principal's office for shooting spitballs. And he came back from the office about an hour later, and so during lunch, my brother and I were asking him what happened, since none of us had ever seen inside the doors of Mr. Jenkins' office. And he said to us that he went into Mr. Jenkins' office, and hanging from the wall, he had several different types of rackets and paddles, tennis rackets, ping pong paddles, racquetball rackets. And he pointed to these rackets hanging from the wall, and he said to him, "I know how to use these." Now, to this day, I don't know if that story was true, and fortunately, I never had to find out. I never got to see the inside of Mr. Jenkins' office. But I do know that it instilled a lot of fear in the student body. And this rumor went around for years and years during all of our elementary school years that he was a principal who would paddle you with the appropriate paddle if you were sent to his office. And I tell that story because, once again, I don't know that it's true, but I do know that many of us associate God with that type of fear. Now, we're mainly going to focus on the gospel reading today, but in the reading from 1 John, which Gary read, you notice there was a phrase right in the middle that said, "Fear has to do with punishment, but perfect love drives out fear." And it went on to say that when we put our trust in God, who is perfect love, then we have no fear of judgment. But then we come to the gospel reading and we see that Jesus actually has something to say, not just about the way that we view God's judgment, but the way that we deal with judgment toward one another. Now, one of the things that's important before we really dig into this is that there's no indication here that Jesus is directing his comments at the civil courts. There certainly is a place for that. He's not telling Bill Rupp that it's wrong for him to make his living bringing people before judges, right? And neither is he addressing these comments to the military. There's a tendency for us to kind of entangle all of these statements together. The important thing to remember is that Jesus is talking about how we deal with people on a relational level, one-on-one. And so if that's the case, we need to ask the question, when Jesus says, do not judge others, what is he asking us to do? He's obviously telling us what not to do. He's saying, don't judge one another. And several surveys have shown that this is the most quoted verse in the entire Bible. Judge not, lest you be judged. Because we like to use that when we sense that others are judging us, right? Don't judge me, right? But Jesus is, he's telling us something. So here's the question, what is Jesus asking us to do? And this reading tells us that he's asking us to do two things. He's asking us to avoid condemnation and to pursue restoration. So let's look first of all at the first thing. Jesus is asking us to avoid condemnation. Now, after he says, do not judge, or you will be judged, he goes on and says, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Now, hardly anybody, in fact, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody go around saying, you know, I think I'm going to start condemning people, right? And none of us say or think that we condemn other people. And yet, in our words, in our actions, we subtly do this all the time. Because when we reach conclusions about people without having all the information, there's a tendency for us to actually be unknowingly pronouncing a judgment on that person. I mean, we do this with what people wear. I mean, you know, styles change from time to time, and we don't want to be, you know, too out of step with the styles, and so we want to dress up with the times. I say that as I'm wearing all these crazy clergy clothes and robes and things that I would never wear out on the street. And yet, we look at others and what they wear, and we make judgments about how much money they have and how they behave. We go to a restaurant that might be having a particular bad day and the service is not so good, and so we suddenly conclude that it must have a horrible, inept manager. We visit other churches on vacation and we make pronouncements about how they do things differently than the way we would have done them. At least other people have told me they do that when they visit churches on vacation. I don't do that, right? Yeah, of course. We make judgments about those who don't believe what we believe. We make judgments on the way other people look. Life is an endless cycle of not only pronouncing judgments on others, but receiving judgments from others. I mean, one of the examples I think I've used before, now that I've been here for almost a year and a half, I forget which stories I've told and which stories I haven't. So if I've told this story, just bear with me. Francis Schaeffer, one of my favorite preachers and authors, says that if you were to have an imaginary tape recorder around your neck your entire life, that only came on and recorded you every time you said to someone else the words, you ought. Now, you ought to do this. You ought to do that. You should do this. You should do that. And then he said, then at the end of your life, you took it off and it was played back for you. He said, you would be horrified because you would realize that all of the things that you told others they ought to do were all things that you didn't do yourself. And so then we cast judgment on ourselves for falling short. And so Jesus is actually speaking in those terms here. He's speaking of the way that we very quickly make judgments and pronouncements on others without having all the facts, the way we judge ourselves. You know, one of my colleagues in the ministry once said to me, he said, I've found we don't have to beat people up because people are their own worst enemies. People are hard enough on themselves. And it's true. For some of you, the biggest critic in your life is yourself. You condemn yourself at all turns because you believe that you haven't measured up to the standard that others ask of you or that you ask of yourselves. And so Jesus, when he says, do not judge, he's asking us to avoid condemnation because judgment and condemnation belongs to God alone. Now, there's a second thing here that he's asking of us, and that's this. He's asking us to pursue restoration. Now, this is the more challenging part of this reading because we tend to stop after the word when Jesus says, why do you look at the speck in someone else's eye and you pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? We tend to stop there and we say, okay, then I just won't say anything to anybody at all. And yet he doesn't let us off that easy. He still wants us to be redemptively involved in other people's lives. See, he goes on in verse 41 and he says, How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? First take the plank out of your eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, he's showing us that he's not asking us to not be involved in the shortcomings of others. Because removing the speck from someone else's eye actually requires that you go to them and that you are involved in their life. You can't remove the speck from someone's eye from a distance. And that's the hard part. But you see, what Jesus is asking us to do is to speak truthfully to others in love and humility. He's not telling us to never point out the problems or the faults of others. But he's asking us to change the way in which we do it. He's asking us to look at our own lives and to realize that we too have fallen short. We too are capable of the very things that we criticize others of doing. And to go to others with that spirit of humility, that we might together help each other with our shortcomings and flaws. And this is where Jesus gets very personal with us. Because he's reminding us that his judgment is when he has taken our judgment upon himself. Jesus, who never did anything wrong, takes our sentence upon himself. And folks, when we believe that, it does wonders for our own defensiveness, when others criticize us. It does wonders for the way that we deal with others. Because ultimately what we realize is that we're not dealing with punishment or condemnation, but rather constructive and loving ministry. Because the ultimate condemnation has been put upon Christ. And God removed that when he was raised from the dead, which is what we celebrate during this Easter season. You know, I have a pastor who's a friend down south. And he's been a very good friend and mentor to me over the years. And I can remember about 10 years ago going to him for advice. And I can remember him saying to me, you know, Dale, sometimes I just feel like I'm not a very good pastor. And therefore, maybe that doesn't help you very much. And I said to him, you know, actually, hearing you say that helps me quite a bit. Because it reminds me that we're all broken. And we all need a Savior who will lovingly remove the speck and the planks from our eyes. We all feel like that at times because we all fall short, and that's why Jesus came. He entered into our lives. He entered into our mess. He wants to walk with us through this journey as he changes us a little bit more each day. He has removed not only the speck from our eyes, but the condemnation from our lives, and he has given us restoration in him. And that's what we celebrate as we celebrate communion, God with us. Thanks be to God that as he calls us to avoid condemnation and to pursue restoration, we have the perfect example of that in our Savior, Jesus. Amen.